That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, October 16th. And we do welcome you here. And we've got a full crew on this morning. Brother Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
And we thank you for joining us. And Brother Tim, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And let's try that again. I think I got you in now. Brother Paul, you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
All right, sorry. And Brother Tim, you are as well, right?
That's correct.
Awesome. Good morning. And Jason, did you click on as well?
No, it's Zach from Michigan.
Oh, good morning, Zach. Well, thanks for joining us. I know Jason's got his hands full down there and by the print shop, and just lots going on. But thanks for joining us. And Remnant, we say thank you for joining us. Lots going on, boy, if there's ever. And I know we've said this before, but if there's ever a time to be in the Word of God, to be drawing near to Him, to be trusting in His hope as we see the fall of Babylon occurring around us. This is what it looks like, folks. It just is. I think that we are in the Bible days that we have read of before. The times of captivity, the times of, well, of Jacob's trouble. I think we are. But there's hope. There's good news. If you read through the Word, you can't get through many verses, even of the fall of Babylon and the death and destruction and the trials without reading some of the good news. So Well, let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get moving from there. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord, at the Radio Ranch microphone to share your word with your people, Lord, to have fellowship with one another, with like-minded Christians, Lord, with those that love you and serve you and honor you and praise you. And Lord, it's those on here with us and those that join us all throughout the country, and we thank you for that. We do thank you that, Lord, you save your people. And in the midst of all that's going on, help us to remember that, Lord. Help us to not lose hope, but to remember and to trust, Lord, in all that in all of your promises and all of your blessings. Lord, we do pray your blessings on your people, that, Lord, there would be repentance and returning to you. Guide and direct us, and Lord, we do. We pray for a blessed time of fellowship, and that you would be glorified in all that we think, say, and do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Certainly lots going on. I've got a couple things. One of the things that I've seen come up, I'll just get it started here, if that's all right, is... they talk about this supply chain problems. We've seen the pictures of the huge cargo ships just piled up especially off the West Coast, and it's all mostly the made in China crap that unfortunately this nation has become so dependent on, not only in industry, but just the consumers. And saw a headline this week that, oh, it may impact holiday shopping. And I thought, well, whoop-de-doo, and good. Let it impact it. It seems like that this stiff-necked people, unless you hit them in their pocketbook, they don't pay attention. That's what it takes to get their attention. And so, but when I thought that, I thought, you know, it seems like I've read about that a little bit before. And in Revelation 18, when it says, verse 11, the merchants of the earth weep and mourn because no one buys their cargoes anymore. And then it goes on, and it's everything from gold and silver to linen and horses and flour and wheat. And I think it describes just everything that's there. And the merchants are crying. They are crying. Anyway, it just continues on, and it's part of the fall. I really believe that it is. When you got a transportation secretary appointed by O'Biden, the Pete Buttigieg or whatever, the openly queer, homosexual, filthy faggot, and he's been missing in action for the last, 6 weeks. Supposedly him and his piece of filth, whatever he has at his house, have adopted a couple of babies. So, you know, Rome burns and Nero fiddles. There's nothing new under the sun. That just happens again and again and again. And it just shows that these people don't care. They are of a depraved mind. They don't care. It doesn't matter. It just continues to be more insanity. Just thought I'd lead off with that yeah, these supply chain issues have not gotten better.
Well, I've been
hearing the good news you're talking about.
No, that's not the good news. We'll get to that. Zach, you had something?
Well, I've been hearing those crews on those cargo ships that those guys haven't been resupplied and they're abandoning ship because they're getting hungry and all that other thing. So they're in a predicament. You know, it's just, you take a look around and I don't really watch the news that much, but I don't see so much on the news or I don't really see that many. I don't think the whole cargo ship thing is not being talked about as much as it should be. It almost feels like this country's in an ambush, and they come this winter when it gets tight, you know, if they're really going to be wishing they had those supplies. So, once again, you got to fall back on necessity creates motivation. And, hopefully some people will get some motivation. You know, we are watching Babylon fall. And we got to be okay with that, I think. Nevertheless, you know, Babylon's made it pretty comfortable for us. It's going to take some tough people to make it through, I believe, and some good God-fearing people to make it through. You know, so buy some good heirloom seeds because that might mean your life.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah, that's it's a chance, I think, for we're seeing that stuff that import-wise sitting out there, but I think the bigger issue at the moment is the fact that in-house or in-country, our cross lines of transportation are being suspended or messed with severely, too. But the good news is, you know, we all talk about buy local and provide local and everything else. This is that impetus to create an environment for these people who've been suppressed over all this time to kind of get an opportunity to get their feet under them and start back in a making things and doing things locally, and then it'll branch out from there. But it's gonna be a rocky. It's gonna be a little rocky for starts. You know, it's not gonna be just a click and deliver. You know, I mean, so there's a lot of that going on. We're seeing, I know they're having a hard time just getting truck drivers down here. I mean, but, you know, then again, they are finding them, but they're paying, you know, $20 an hour to drive a truck or a tractor right now. It's like, and the reason for that is because we pray for a correction in wages and a correction in a lot of things. So there's going to be a lot of things change. There's going to be some downsides on the short before the good stuff comes in. But it's happening. I mean, it's all in God's good time. And I look at all this stuff from all the way from COVID to this, and it's like, yeah, the Rocky guys, you know, we're going to throw off on us. It's falling on you, and you're falling in the ditch that you dug. So,
amen to that. And that, I think that we will continue to see that if God's people will pray that way. And we can do that. You know, we're told in, where is it, up back in Timothy, to pray for those in authority. And you know, especially kings and things like that. And you can pray for those that are godly, that want to lead, you know, whether it's your mayor, your governor, your sheriff, your representative, whatever. There's some good ones out there that are showing, that are trying to, you know, continue to bring up to the people the problems and the issues. And you can pray for those, that they're blessed, that they find favor in God. And you can pray Psalms 109 on the enemies. You can pray for those that those leaders that hate our God and hate His people. You still pray for them, but you can pray Psalms 109. You can pray that their children are parentless, and you can pray that they fall, like you said, Tim, in the pit that they dig for us. You can pray. God says that He contends with those that contend with us. That means He fights with those that fight against us. And we can pray that, but so many of our people don't. You know, you hear, I've been doing a little driving this week and traveling, and try to flip through the radio stations and not just listen to music, but and there's a couple of stations around that play sermons and whatnot. And you know, everybody's there's no meat whatsoever in these programs that are on the radio, that, you know, this preaching from, whether it's Grace FM or K-Love or whatever, there's some praise music. But when you hear some of the messages, I just noticed that this week, you know, it is all fluff. And there's, I mean, it's nothing that applies to today. Into how a Christian should live, and what we're to be doing, and being doers of the word, and it's like, it's just no wonder that we're in this mess. I was reading Jeremiah this morning, a little bit of Jeremiah 30, you know, when God says in verse 11, I will chasten you justly and will by no means leave you unpunished. And that reminded me, Paul, you know, you've said that many times, that's one of the reasons we have some of the leaders that we have is for correction, because we have turned from him. And throughout the Bible, God has used those that hate him and used ungodly rulers and nations and people to chastise his people. And his word tells us that. Down in verse 15, he says, I have done these things to you because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. And I think we have to remember, and I hope the remnant and the people in the land remember that, you know, Gideon, the strength that Gideon had was that very thing. That it was God that had done these things because of their sin, because of their turning away from him. And that is such a foreign concept, I think, in today's society. It just is. But in the same Jeremiah 30, I saw this and laughed this morning. Back in verse 4, he says, Now these are the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now and see if a male can give birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in childbirth? And I saw that and I thought, you know, because that's the insanity of the times we live in, because that's what these woke people are, you know, it's insanity, but that's what you see. That's what they're putting forth, that they're just it's confusion that they put out. But we see that kind of stuff. Why have all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved from it. Brother Jonathan brought a good message on the time of Jacob's trouble. And I think from reading this that I certainly agree with him that's the time that we're in. The end of Jeremiah 30 says, in the latter days, you will understand this. And I think that there is some understanding going out throughout the land, that people are waking up, that they are realizing that, some of them anyway, that, you know, Zach, just like you said about the seeds and the dealing with one another again, turning to God and to communities, to work things out, to trade, to have, you know, food and the things that we need. I think people are coming to a greater understanding of that, I guess would be a summary of that.
I definitely think that, neighborhoods are starting to be more supportive of each other. And that is a good thing, because, man, if you can't rely on your neighbor, I mean, it's fulfilling the second commandment that Jesus gave. And it's so important to want the same good things for your neighbor as you want for yourself. And you want them to be healthy. You want them to be prosperous. And my whole life, I sat there and watched everybody want to be ahead of everybody else. And I'm kind of seeing that fade away, and, you know, the playing field being kind of evened out a little bit. And, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, I think the older generation might not like that so much, but they just, what's going on is definitely needed. I look at it more like it's medicine, you know, like Richard, you were saying, you know, what the Lord said, he said, I have done these things. Well, we look at what the government's doing, and, you know, in Romans 13, in the New American Standard, the Bible says that the government are, they're ministers of the Lord. It is God doing it. And we need to recognize that because of our actions. And I think some people may be waking up to that, I know I was talking with my brother a couple weeks ago, and when the COVID thing hit, and I'm not saying I agree with everything that his church says. I'm not saying that, but he was saying that their elders there went and started a food pantry, and they started an account, a cash account for somebody that might be in need that's in the congregation. And when they presented it to the congregation, what their elders found that the congregation was already doing it on their own. So that's a good, when the Spirit of God moves, the Spirit of God moves.
Yes.
And he doesn't need us to do it. And so we need to recognize that. And we need to be like that one guy in Acts when he sees somebody preaching, to do those little adjustments. And that might be what our job is. And you know, that is something, that's a proper function for a church to be doing, is taking care of their body. And you know, that's what it's all about. You know, we shouldn't be relying on the government to be doing what the church's job is supposed to be doing. And there's an example of a church in a slight way stepping up. And I can't balk at that. Now, I can balk at how they get the seal, but I can't balk at that.
Yeah, amen. Amen. They're seeing that it is up to them, you know? It is up to them that they... There's still those out there that have a desire to help their neighbor, that have you know, compassion. We had a neighbor's house burned down a couple of weeks ago, and I've mentioned it. And out here in the community, and the father didn't make it out. He got his wife and children out, and he didn't make it out, but he got them out, and. The community came together, had a little fundraiser, raised over $30,000, you know, for the family. And and you see that throughout the land. You don't read about it in the news, but you hear about it, and it goes on, because there are some that still have, and they may not even know why, but they have that that law written in their heart. To love God and love their neighbor. And I like how you put it, Zach, that it may be our job, is just to tweak a little bit, just to, you know, point out this verse or that verse, and just to tweak a little bit, or, you know, as it was, I think what you were talking about, you know, when they were taught a better way. Many in the land that are Christians that still, you know, haven't gotten completely rid of that law in their heart. They know to trade with one another, to take care of one another, to watch out for one another. And it is encouraging when we see that.
You know, and don't get me wrong, I completely understand. You know, most of the way, they are not teaching who the true Jesus is, which is the Word. You know, according to John and John chapter 1, they're not teaching that. They're doing away with all that. I understand all that, and it's a big mess, but, you know, sooner or later, you're going to realize that your actions that you've been taking, the actions in your thought process isn't the proper way, and, you know, people will reassess. And that is why I think that definition of Jesus, John chapter 1, is the perfect definition. And, you know, people don't know. that's, you know, we all here on this radio show know, you know, well, that's the first step in screwing everything up. And we all know that that's what's happened. So that is our job, is to teach who the real Jesus is. And because if they don't know, he ain't going to show up. So that's just my opinion. I don't know if anybody else got any thoughts on it. I'm curious.
Well, I think that I agree with you, Zach. I think Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." And that's our framework, our, you know, design. I mean, when you build something to do a job, it'll do that job. And of course, we know that Christ was, you know, and God our Father was, he built a master thing and called it good, and it's going to come back to that. I mean, I look at that as every day is an opportunity to shine some of those things forward, and we don't always manage to succeed. I mean, I don't anyways. You know, there's days it's like, well, I kind of blew that, but what we need to do is, you know, get up in the morning. God forgives us daily. We know that. And pray for forgiveness and move forward from there, you know, and make a fresh start and strive to walk in those good works that God created us for. So, anyways, every day is an opportunity, I think.
Somebody said about mentioning a verse. You know, that comes to that, but I'll tell you what, actions will overspeak a verse any day.
Yes.
You know, we have this artillery in our mind with all the scripture that we know and stuff like that. We have that, but one kind deed will over-trump just about anything, especially a person in need. And that's the opportunity that's coming before us right now. Somebody's going through this mess, and I certainly intend to be one of them, unless God takes me out. But somebody's going through this mess, and we have to keep that joy in our heart and look for an opportunity to make someone's day. You know, some of the most dangerous people on the face of this earth is a double-minded Christian. He's got a foot in both worlds, and he cares nothing about it. I always think he's fighting his conscience is a big thing. When I was reading Isaiah, I was just looking for it again, but somewhere, I would have been in the 40s somewhere, and God said, "You haven't known me, but I'm going to save you anyway." You know, that's my words, but somewhere I was looking for it, but I didn't find it, but I was reading it the other night. But God is doing this in spite of us. He is his people. See, and that's why you have to know who the players are before you can understand prophecy. The Adamic race, see, we're the compassionate race too. And we'll put ourselves out, you know. I know Zach will, I will. I'm certain both of you guys do. If somebody's in need, we'll go out of our way at our own expense. You know. Just the way it's in us, and some of it's easier than others, but we're living through a very idolatrous age where material things is everything to everybody. But
go ahead, Paul. Sorry,
I got two neighbors live right there, both nurses. They bought this house $13,000 over a asking price. They have new cars, each of them, when they moved in here right after that. And they just both got new cars again. But I don't know how they do it, but the system has been good to them. And they, you know, they got two little kids. The oldest is two. It's just amazing. But you know, the struggles I went through to get to where I am, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. It made me who I am. So, we're the only race in the world that goes helps another nation. No one has ever come to help us in our troubles. So, well, France did in the Revolutionary War, and a few people have, but for the most part, but they were our brothers too. They come to help us. But we are that people. And our actions speak louder than our words.
Yes. Yes, they absolutely do. They do. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call, go ahead. Somebody had a comment there.
Well, I just think it's, a lot of what we see going on around us right now is just a matter and this is kind of falling along with what Paul was saying, but it is a matter of interpretation of what we see. I mean, of ourselves. You know, you can, we pray against the public education system. I do, because it's anti-Christ and it's the destruction of our nation, and they teach ungodly precepts and all kinds of problems. And so we pray against that, and now we've got, they want to get all these draconian measures to get the kiddies back into the public education system, and we've got parents suddenly standing up and getting irate. And I mean, it's getting majorly irate. And so now they're calling domestic terrorists. Well, it wasn't just a couple of years ago, and some of those same people were shaking their head at you when you were when you had some things to say against that system, and now suddenly they're like, and it's an answer to prayer. You know, I mean, and talk about a wake-up call. They're like, this is wrong. This is bad. You know, so, and it's not an I told you so moment. It's a welcome to the club. We've got jackets moment, you know?
Right.
So.
That's a great way of putting it. That actually made me laugh. Yeah, that is definitely, and, you know, that's what we wanted. We wanted people to wake up, and now they're waking up, and, I think it's great. That is what we want to see from the point of view that we've been looking at for so long. And, it's wonderful to see it, you know, and, it's kind of nice to see that, that the school boards don't know what to do. I happen to know a guy that, is related to one of the school board members, and, they were sitting there at a family gathering, and he told his brother, and I was like, I didn't sign up for this. And his response was, yes, you did. You did sign up for this, and it's coming. What are you going to do? And, so those guys are, they don't like the pushback. They have to do something. And, so they're kind of sitting there with their hand in the cookie jar. And they don't know what to do. And it's great, I think it's great.
Amen, so do I. Yeah.
So, Babylon is falling. And, I was sitting there, I was thinking about when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt. And once they got out into the desert, they were complaining, like, oh, we had dreams, our people died, we had food, we had all this stuff, and God had such a better plan. And me and Paul were having coffee earlier this week, excuse me, and him and I were talking, and the comment came up was, how many of those Israelites do you actually think rated to be hauled out of Egypt? And I thought if you put it percentage-wise, I'm there that actually rated to be hauled out of Egypt. It's how you raise your eyebrows. And you can tell that they were stiff-necked then because they were complaining, and they're just as stiff-necked now. And, it's our job to say, hey, this is a good thing. This is the kingdom ushering in. I really believe it is. Because you see all these things, these supply lines and all this stuff being cut. It is forcing us to rely on our God.
Yes.
It is forcing us to rely on the land that He has given us. How many years has gone by to where all these families have existed not relying and appreciating the land that God gave us? That's a sin too. And you're going to be forced to it. You might be forced to that land. And
there's other issues coming in. Guys are having a hard time growing crops. Fertilizer is not going to be as available. You know, they're saying, I mean, Gabe Brown's practices are going to be looking pretty good here pretty quick. The future is here. I think it is. I really do.
Amen. I think so too, Zach. I think there's all kinds of, God is definitely on the move all the way across. You know, and I hear that from a lot of people. Well, things aren't going to go back to the way they were after this, you know, and it's like, no, and they shouldn't.
That's right. They shouldn't. That's right. Yeah. I think that's where we have to be, is to remind the people when we hear those type things that who wants them to return to that? You know, who wants them to return to the filth and the degradation and the and all of our money going overseas and taxes paying for ungodly things and you know, and people being able to stay home and get paid, and who wants those things? And it's causing people to think and to say, hey, wait a minute, there's a better way. I think that's what one thing our former president did, was he showed people that there, you know, things can be better. Things can be better. It was just a glimpse, because right now things are worse. Things are worse, but they have to get worse in order for the people to see, to have that contrast. We were talking about transportation. You know, when diesel's $3.50 a gallon versus, you know, $1.50 just less than 2 years ago, that makes an impact. It really does. And it's you and me that always pay for that. It is. And so, you know, these things have been brought upon his people to have them, as Zechariah says, return to me so that he may return to us. We've heard in the past, well, it's got to get better before it gets worse. And I think that's just where we are. I don't just throw that out, but I think we do. We are going to continue to see, more troubling times, before us, because that's what it's going to take, till this, you know, for this stiff-necked people to return to him.
Well, you know, that's the definition of words, worse and better. You know, is it getting worse or is it getting better? It's kind of like, you know, the whitewater rafting, which I've never done. But once you leave that port, there's no turning back. You're going through one way or another, you know, because the walls on the side are too high. And this is exactly the chute we're in right now. Is it worse or is it better? And it's getting better. The only thing is we're being purged of our idolatry. And I think we all got something to learn out of this. There ain't one of us, considered myself first. We all got something to learn out of this. And so that may be a play on words, that worse and better. I think it's getting better for me. If you like the kingdom of God, it's coming. But see, most people want to preserve Babylon because they had it comfortable. Well, our comfort zone is gone.
Yes. Yes.
Amen, Paul. And if you don't like the kingdom of God, well, it's coming.
That's right.
So, you know.
That's right.
Either way. Just prepare yourselves. I mean, it's like, yeah, and it is an opportunity for us to grow too. You know, I mean, it really is. I like the example that Zach used about coming out of Egypt, and it all comes down to the commitment of your heart, mind, and soul. You know, are you committed to God? And it's like, if you say to go there, and if you say that's the way it's got to be, then that's the way it is. And the other thing I'm astounded about, and I shouldn't be, but I'm still pleasantly, is God makes a way for his people all the time. You can see that going on right now, too. It's like, these miracles that are going on all around us, you know, people see a miracle and they don't recognize it as a miracle. They just see it as a problem or as something going on like that. And we've got opportunities all over the place that we can. So we live in an opportunity-rich environment right now, and people's cognitive reasoning and their hearing is a lot better than it used to be, because we're living in a world that's full of no answers without God, you know, right now. I mean, there's things going on that are just, I talked to a fellow here the other day who works for one of the big chemical companies. He was talking about chemical tech, but he said, well, he's a truck driver, and he said, well, you know, they're trying to make everybody take the jab, and he said, because they have over 100 employees, and he said, about, you know, 8 or 9 out of every 10 of us are like, we're not doing it. So he said, we could end up losing our job. He said, I don't really know what I'm going to do, but he said, I know that God will take care of it, you know, and I was like, that's, you know, that's the right attitude, and what a wonderful thing. I mean, it encouraged me to hear someone say that. Yeah. So it's just a matter of encouraging and encouraging each other to good works. I mean, and that's that action, as well as helping people when you can and taking care of things. And it's, the world's in a mess, but God's got it well in hand. And it's only in a mess for some people.
That's right.
So,
I like how you put it, Paul. It is better. We have to remember that. Things are getting better because people are waking up. They're waking up to the sin in the land. They're waking up to... you know, the fact that things need to change, that they do, and they are thinking more, and that happens as they wake up a little bit and are turning to His Word. We're seeing many.
We don't know how many people are out there like us. It's like the prophet thought he was the only one that was 7,000 that didn't bow the knee to Baal. But just like that truck driver, he knows his God. And he knows, he don't know where he's going, but he knows, I don't know what I'm going to do, but God will take care of it. Now, that's faith at its rawest form. And that's out there, and we don't know who much it is. And this is what's coming out of this. I never melted gold or silver, but the dross comes off, you know, and that's what's going on right now. You know, if you think Biden and his cronies and he's just a puppet has anything to offer, you're going to find out he has nothing to offer.
Right.
No. I wear this hat and on the top, and it says discipline equals freedom. And we need to, if there's discipline coming from God, we need to accept it, because the end result will be freedom. And that's a principle that goes, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're steadfast and you take discipline, then you will accomplish what you need to accomplish. And if you stick by God's rules and regulations, you will get through it. And we need to keep that in focus, because, you know, that's one of the things that, I don't know so much about now because of what's going on in the military, and I was never in the military, but I talk to guys and they absolutely love, most of them, absolutely love their time of service. They love the guys that they were working with. And, you know, it was a very disciplined, it was a harsh discipline, place to be at. And they all seem to love it. And they are all glad that they went through it, and they're more successful because of what happened to them there. Now, I get, we don't all agree what the military has done, you know, over the last 50, 60, 70 years. I understand. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that their system, you know, is effective, because those people come out of there and they love, you know, my brother loved what the Marine Corps did for him. And he still does to this day. And you can see those lessons that he learned and how he holds himself. He's a good, upright person. He's honest. And he's very successful. And those are all qualities that I think every Christian should want as well. And those are actually Christian values, because that comes from biblical law. And, you know, you can learn a lot just by observing. And so, yeah, we got discipline coming down the pipeline. Take it, because the end result will be freedom. And, we, you know, it'll be good for the generations to come.
Amen, Zach. I think so.
So, and the thing of it is, the discipline that we are about to take, just think how much better it'll be for our children's children. That will, those guys that fought the, and we've said this many times on this radio show, the guys that fought the Revolutionary War really didn't do it for themselves. Their lives were already half over. They did it for their children and their grandchildren and for the future of a nation. That's why they did it.
Right.
That's the mindset that we need to have. You know? So, I'm sorry I went rambling.
No, I think you nailed it just right. That's an attitude that really that needs to change in the land today. Because you hear many that are talking about freedom, that are talking about, you know, the problems in the land, and many of them are, you know, it's for themselves. It's for themselves. And that's one of the things I think that that does have to change, that the people have to start, you know, thinking, hey, listen, we need to do this for our, you know, for our children and for their children. Our enemy, they think that way. They think and plan and work generationally. And they have taken that away from us. They've taken that away from, I think, our thought processes, because it's just get it while you can, is what they've pushed on the Anglo people and on this society that we live in today. But
we all know in Deuteronomy 28. Go ahead, Richard.
No, that was it. I'm just saying, but I think we're seeing a small change, you know, a little here, one here and two there. And it's moving in the right direction.
When you see people in front of school board screaming and hollering about what's going on, and because all those people already went through school.
Yes.
All those parents already went through school. And so that how do I want to say this? They're looking into the future is what they're doing. And we all know, based on what you said just there, Richard, those people playing generationally, and what are they doing? They're using our labor, our energy, in order so that way their children can have better lives. And if we do it right, then Deuteronomy 28, they will be the tail, and we'll be the head. And then we'll be using their children for that type of thing, because they're wicked, instead of our wickedness being fuel for them. You know, because in Hosea, it says, they feed on our sins. It gives them fuel.
Yes.
It gives them power. Well, if we don't sin, then that to them, it's just the opposite effect. You know, they'll be at our feet. And, you know, you don't see people. You don't see churches preaching that kind of stuff. But that's Old Testament stuff. That's the real Jesus right there. And so quit feeding them. Quit feeding them with the sin, you know. And the simplicity of it is—it's so simple, but yet it's just so—I don't know. Like the media and this Babylonian system that brings people so blinded and so confused. And you know, our job is to bring the simplicity of the gospel out. And you know, and I've tried a lot trying to get people to see the simplicity of the gospel, and I've had people pinned down. And they just get up and, you know, they're just like an old rooster that you beat the snot out of for pecking you or spurring you. And they'll get around, turn around, do it right back again. And they'll go right back to the way they were. And I don't know why. I don't know why. So, you know.
Well, Zach, you're in,
Zach,
you're in good company, because I think that's just how God felt about his children that he led out of bondage in Egypt that you mentioned earlier.
No.
That they stiff-necked, hard-headed, you know, here they are, not having to slave every day, not having to gather more straw and make more bricks, didn't have to do that anymore. didn't have to. What did they have to do? They were there with their families. They weren't away from their families slaving all day. They were there with their families to worship him. And, you know, they were given the riches of Egypt, right? The people gave them money, cattle, all that they had. And that's what they had, you know, they had water in the desert. They had food, and they bitched and griped the whole time. And that's where they died. And there is nothing new under the sun. And those that cannot come out of Egypt today, those that don't want to come out of her, my people, well, guess what? They'll die in her, my people. That's just how it is. That's how it was. And we have to keep, I keep coming back to it, but we have to have that spirit of Caleb. He made it. He had a different spirit than the people. That's what the word tells us. He believed God, and God honored him, and delivered him and his family. And in today, I think there's so many repeats from the Egyptians, the Egyptian in the wilderness wandering story that are happening. You know, that we are in again today. But that's good news. Like you said, Paul, that's good. That's better because we see we have a guidebook. You know, we have a book that says, hey, turn left here and go four steps and then turn right here and then it's another half mile, then make a left. We have that instructions of what to do and what not to do. You know, watch out for the swamp over there and don't go down that one-way street the wrong way. And we have that. We have that right before us, that map.
Don't look back, or you'll turn into lost life.
Yes.
Don't weep when the wicked are cut off. You know, and that's the thing, too. You talk about the Old Testament, that is sin, the hair up in the back. It's the original Testament. It just bugs me when somebody says, and nobody wants to deal with anything old. They don't, but you've got to have an original. That's where it came from. So we have that view from Abraham. He was able to call God his, or God called him his friend. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right down through Moses, Aaron, you know, and this is what we have a thing. We can see the big picture from the beginning to the end, and we're looking at Revelation at the moment. But we can see that. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's four witnesses to the same story. And that goes back to the law. No one's to be put to death without two or three witnesses. Well, I'll give you four, he just said. You know, and that's the picture that we can see when you have that overview. And if new people know who you are, you would know Genesis already. Then you read Deuteronomy. And then you read Proverbs, and that the law converts the soul, because then you know what's right. And we're not saved by the law, but you know God's word and what he expects of us. And then you can start living for that. But that people have, they've taken that out of people's life. And that's why there's no conversion. Converting the soul, the Bible says. And when you know what he wants and expects of you, then you can start doing it. Then you can really start to see the mercy that God has had on us. You know, and when you know the story, like I talked about in Isaiah, he said, well, basically, I'm going to save you in spite of yourselves, what it amounts to.
Yes.
And that's God's love for us. And it's very humbling once you understand it.
Well, that's the word. That's Jesus Christ. Everything you said, Genesis is Jesus Christ. Exodus is Jesus Christ. The law, Deuteronomy, Jesus Christ. Numbers, Leviticus, Isaiah. That's the word. That's the word. It's not just a New Testament word that became flesh and dwelt among us. It was the word, all of it, from in the beginning to amen at the end. That is, and Zach, you brought that out just a few weeks ago at church. That is who the word is. That is who Jesus Christ actually is. He is Genesis. He is Exodus. He is Leviticus. He is Deuteronomy. The cursings and the blessings. That's Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end. That's the Christ that the world doesn't know, that very few know. You know, from the beginning to the end. And certainly, like you said, that mercy and that grace And you can't understand it until you read that background story, till you read of Abraham, that God didn't call him because he didn't call him and his people because they were the greatest, the biggest, the best looking, the most. No, they were the fewest. They were the fewest. But it is. It's a fantastic story. It is. And it is such a.
It's a story that you can base your life on.
Yes.
And your children's life.
Absolutely.
And futures.
Absolutely.
And the future is of nations. And is it? I mean, is it? Or you can continue the cycle. You know, Babylon's been around. You know the. You know, from Nimrod to the Babylonian captivity of Judah to the Roman Empire to this Babylonian system that's going on now with all those cargo ships. You want to repeat the cycle or do you want God's cycle? Take your pick. That's what it boils down to. So, yeah, that's what it is. And there's a lot of unfair things that happen in the Babylonian system, but. You know, I'm going to go drive down the Babylonian system as soon as I get off the radio here. It's going to be a nice paved road. It's going to be, you know, they offer the same thing. It's just, how do you want to get there? You want to do it God's way or Satan's way? Period. They offer the same thing. And a lot of it's unfair. God's way is not unfair. God's way doles out the way that things should be dealt out.
That's right. That's right. Well, guys, we are out of time. Man, that hour went fast. Well, men, thank you so much for joining us. What a recharge to my batteries, and I'm sure to the remnant as well, to be able to have fellowship with like-minded Christians and hear truth from the Word of God and from one another. And so thank you so much. And Remnant, we invite you to church tomorrow. We've had issues. I think they're fixed. We're planning on live church tomorrow from the LaPorte Church of Christ. So we do encourage you to join us there starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and that'll be 7:30 on the West Coast. But join us at scripturesforamerica.org. And you can click on the live video stream there in the morning. Men, thanks again. God bless. Have a great weekend. And, guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Stay calm.
Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Head 'em off, head 'em off, move 'em out, head 'em off, snake high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, round 'em out, ride 'em out, ride 'em more,
snake high. Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high.